So I'm Miriam Elias. I'm currently a research assistant at the American University in Cairo. I graduated from there exactly a year ago, holding my Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering. And as I said, I've been working as a research assistant there. So I started exactly 1 year ago dealing with the daylight simulations and learning more about radiance. So I'm fairly a beginner. But I'm here hopefully to get feedback from the community and learn more about your feedback with regards to the workflow that I followed and so on. So basically, this is our research abstract. The main aim of our paper is to study and optimize the daylight performance of four-sided wind towers. So they don't actually only act for passive cooling and ventilation, but also for improved daylight, and given the need actually for environmentally sustainable design that is occurring nowadays. So the main research objective is basically studying the daylight performance of an actual wind tower that we have on our campus at AUC in Egypt. And while working on that main research objective, we found out that we could also carry out like a systematic evaluation and benchmarking of the multiple state-of-the-art TDVM techniques that are there and that all use radius, also on the wind tower application. And the main reason for that isn't basically validating the tools, but really understanding the flexibility and limitations with regards to the input parameters that we can have, the output metrics, and the effect of the modeling and the certain inputs on the output. So this is basically my agenda for today, a quick introduction on wind towers, what they are, and then a description of the wind tower that we have in our campus at AUC, the two approaches that I worked on, and then preliminary design iterations and the process. And I must say the whole research is still a work in progress, so what I'm going to present right now isn't like an empirically comprehensive research, it's just the kickstart of the research where I was trying to experiment with a couple of tools to understand more about the capabilities of each.
Okay, so. Sorry, one more.
So basically, wind towers, I'm not quite sure if everybody is familiar with them or not, but they're an architectural building element. They are mostly found in hot climate areas and arid climate areas too. They're constructed on the top of the buildings and their main function is basically, as I said, for natural ventilation and passive cooling. They work due to the difference in pressure, the rising of warm air and the lowering of cold air. So by default, they have openings at the top and then openings at the bottom. And there are different types. There are unidirectional, bidirectional, multidirectional, and also cylindrical ones. This is basically the wind tower that we have on our campus at AUC. As you can see, we have in the opening at the top, we have a static mover system. And this is basically the like a panoramic view on the ground floor of the wind tower. And this is like if you look above, from below to the top of the wind tower. These are just reference construction drawings that I used to create the Rhino model later on for you just to get an idea of the basic dimensions and the cross-section of it. Okay, so basically, coming again to the main research objective, we want to study the daylight performance of this wind tower of the openings as well as of the louver system and how this could affect the spaces that are influenced by the wind tower. We want to use radiance. What shall we do? Shall we use Tiny Studio, Ladybug tool, Honeybee, or Radiance as a command line based tool? I personally don't have much of a strong background in programming, so directly using Radiance was a bit intimidating for me. I wasn't sure if I would be able to handle it as a something to kickstart everything with. Climate Studio is fairly interesting with a user interface and easy to use, but I was afraid that I might not have a good command of all the parameters that and all the input options that Radiance has while using Climate Studio. So I basically went for the Ladybug tools, the in-between visual programming option. I tried to read more about time daylight modeling, time-based daylight modeling. I'm sure everybody already knows that, but for me it was like getting into the field, learning more what the CPDM tools do and why they're important, learning about the sky conditions, the local climate, building orientation, and so on. And then this was the kickstart of everything for me, these two diagrams. I didn't know how to start, and learning more about the multi-phase method, I learned that if I have a complex concentration system, then I need to do a BSDF. And this is how everything started. So I thought, okay, so the first thing to do, I need basically to have a three-phase method, or that's the approach, that's the way to go. And that's how it started. I wanted to create like the BSDF file. And I thought, okay, I learned that Ladybug tools, the latest one, the version that is 1.6, it has BSDF integration. So I didn't really think whether it uses the enhanced two-phase method or the three-phase method or the five-phase method. I just thought I would prepare the Looper system geometry, create the BSDF XML file, and then we'll see how it moves forward. This is how I started. I learned more about CFS, about the BSDF, and that it's basically the combination of the transmittance and the reflectance. And then I tried to basically apply this on the case study that we have on our campus. So this is basically a blow-up of the Looper system, of their geometry, and the dimensions and the inclination angle. And we have them on the four sides as mentioned, and these are basically the dimensions of the whole wind tower openings. And this is the workflow I followed. I created the Looper system geometry on Rhino. I adjusted the orientation to export the OBJ file. I created the RAS file using OBJ to RAS. I checked that the orientation is fine. I added material properties, some generic but method-related material properties. And then I generated the BSDF file, and I checked this using the BSDF. That's a quick overview of the modeling process in Rhino. And then this is basically how I check that everything is hopefully fine. We're in the negative Z area, so it's okay. And that the units and the dimensions are basically correct. And I added these material properties to the RAS file. And then I continued with generating the BSDF file. I wanted to learn more about the possibilities of playing around with the BSDF file. I didn't do it, but I just wanted to have like a quick overview of the parameters that are there, the default ones that are available when the Gen BSDF like basically works. And then that's a rough sketch where I try to understand how basically the CLEMS patches work and how I can see whether actually I've done this generating of the BSDF file correctly or not. So we can go. And this was basically a summary of the patch numbers and the visible transmission at the back and the visible transmission at the specular patch. Okay, so now I had the BSDF file and I wanted to move on to the preparation of the architectural geometry. As I said, I decided to use the latest available Ladybug tools, and I knew that Honeybee is basically using the BSDF file, so I didn't really care much about the phases. I just wanted to try go in the workflow and then see what would be there. So how I went from the model creation in Rhino to the model creation in Honeybee. That's basically a summary. I used the room-based approach that was introduced to us by Mikkel in the tutorial day. I created the surfaces, then the Honeybee faces, the rooms, and the adjacency, and then the Honeybee model. And that's basically the workflow. What I noticed was basically that each room has to be totally closed. any additional surfaces, any additional surfaces created some sort of an error that the room wasn't closed, so I wasn't even able to do like the interior sides of the walls and so on. I just created the single surfaces to create the room, and then I was able to add shades and apertures and so on to each room. So this is basically how I created the whole model, each room separately. And then there were some additions like a wall with some opening and so on. I added them separately, I added geometry. And this is how I wanted to check that basically Honeybee is reading the model correctly as I want them and the boundary conditions and so on. And as I said, the only limitation that I found in this process was basically that the wall thicknesses weren't taken into consideration. And here, the other limitation was basically that I had to model, because using Honeybee tools from the 1.6 version, I had to do the apertures as surfaces on the walls, and the walls didn't have any holes. They don't need any. Honeybee generates the holes. So basically, I had to give all these apertures got the same glass modifier, although some of them, like the entrance openings, for example, they are actually, in reality, air. There is no glass, there is no door. It's just an opening in the wall. So that was another limitation. And here, the very last limitation was basically, I included the shading devices, but their thicknesses were not included. They were just included also as single surfaces. Okay, so I was done with the geometry preparation, a fairly primitive model, but something that I could start with. And then I wanted to learn more about the modifiers. I just wanted to see what Honeybee actually has. So I tried to see more what the modifier set is, that is used generically, what it is, and what the different materials are, and what their definitions are. And the most important ones for me were basically the interior wall and the ceiling. And as a start, their values didn't bother me, so I could play it. I didn't have to do any measure changes. So, and then I wanted to like prepare and run the annual data simulation recipe. I created the sensor grid. I added the location of the weather data. I specified the north direction, and then I wanted to see what are the things that I can play around with in the annual daylight component of Honeybee. What are the parameters that I can play with? What are the things that I can change? So the first one, the first thing was basically the thresholds. I left them as they are. These are the ones we're commonly using everywhere. So I left them. I didn't do any changes here. Regarding the radiance ray tracing parameters, I started first with the default ones, which were basically undervalued too, because I didn't really know what these mean. But later on, I realized that in a structure like the one that we have in the wind tower, basically undervalued too is not really appropriate. So I tried to play around more to get actually better results. And I changed them first in my first trial to 9 and then to 15, and I left the other part. I then learned that there are basically in Honeybee different decay levels that we could use. But I didn't refer much to them in these first trials that I will show you. I referred to them later in a point in time analysis that I will show later in my presentation. Okay, so till this far, I was just working with the latest Ladybug tools, and I wasn't really sure which method is actually being used. I ran the code, and I ran the simulation, and I read somewhere multi-phase, so I was hoping it would be the 3 or the 5-phase method, but I wasn't quite sure. I checked the radiance, the Honeybee radiance primer, and it stated explicitly that it was the enhanced 2-phase method. So I thought, okay, perhaps the results that I would get from there won't be as accurate as I want or as accurate as needed. So why not play around more and see what I can do. These were just basically the very first like results that I got from this first month. And these were basically two hypothetical cases that don't exist in reality, but I just wanted to see the effect or to what extent a complex fenestration system or basically the louver system that we have in the wind tower actually makes a difference. So I did two extremes. I ignored for now integrating the BSDF file into the code, and I just ran the code once thinking that these wind tower openings are completely open. And another case was basically thinking about these wind tower openings being completely closed, which in reality could not happen because the wind tower does need to get air in order for the ventilation and so on. But I just wanted to do this as a pilot study for myself to get a sense of the differences. And actually, I realized that there is no measured difference, which means that the louver openings or the wind tower openings, even without the louver system or with the louver system, when evaluating annual daylight metrics, there is no real striking difference. So I wasn't really sure if this, because I did something that was not really correct in the simulation, or they don't really matter. I looked at the UTI low values to compare both cases. Generally, I had in the maximum percentage just some differences, so that's how I learned that probably the model doesn't have many problems because there are different values. They are just so minor that we don't really see them, but they are there. So I didn't really get the typically same results. There were differences, but they're not really we can't really see them. And then I decided to integrate the BSDF XML file to see what happened. And these are basically the values I got, and they're actually also pretty similar to the two striking cases with the complete openings and the complete closures of the wind tower. So the actual value that was a bit more of an outlier was for the first room that I got for the base case scenario with the Google system, the SDF, an LDA of 81.7%, whereas the complete closures had basically 84, and the total opening had 84. So this was a bit of a question mark, but my main conclusion was basically, okay, for just looking at these rooms and at these spaces and wanting to optimize them, one and two don't really need much of an optimization, but three and four do. So just to make sure that I'm more on the right track, I decided to conduct a point-in-time analysis, not just rely on the annual metrics, because the east-side differences might not be visible in the annual metrics, but could be viewed through point-in-time analysis. And here is basically where I relied on the detail level option that is there in Honeybee. And this conversion test is basically what I tried before, playing around with the ambient bounces and so on. Okay, the median detail level simulation with the total closures and total openings, they took 10 minutes. And the highest detail level with the base case BSDF took approximately 45 minutes, but they also didn't show significant difference. As you can see, there are some differences with regards to the distribution of light. I did this point in time analysis for the 21st of September, just as a pilot example to just see if there are any differences. And there are differences in the distribution of amount of lux, but they're not really striking. Okay. After this, this was my first approach. So everything that I talked about before was basically using the Honeybee tools, the version 1.6. After doing some research, I found out that actually the legacy tools had this Honeybee Plus component, which actually uses three-phase and five-phase methods explicitly. So I decided to try this approach too. The Louvre system geometry is as is. We have the same DFDF XML file, so nothing has changed in the first stage. In the second stage, I realized that there are some modifications that need to be done. I can't take the same code or the same thing and apply it on the 100 plus. There are different components, and the architecture geometry preparation process itself is a bit different. So I took the same Rhino model. The only thing that I changed was basically that I created openings in the solid walls, because the approach in Honeybee Plus is basically creating walls with holes, as opposed to the first approach that I told you about, which were basically surfaces overlaid on top on each other. So I created the Rhino faces, then the Honeybee faces, and then the Honeybee objects. I assigned the face types for the default modifiers to be assigned, and then I created the context and I moved forward. So this is basically like the workflow. It was much easier, much faster. The first approach was a bit more difficult because I have to check each room separately, that it's closed and so on, but here I just selected the surfaces and assigned them to their different types, and that was it. And I wanted to see how the annual recipe basically differs from the one that I had in the usual Honeybee code. First, I created the analysis grid, and then I referred back to the theory and to the tutorials to learn more about the 3 and 5 phase method and the different matrices, the flux transfer calculation, and so on, to see how these would be reflected then in the Honeybee code. And as you can see, in this approach, I have basically a 3 or 5 phase method recipe. I have broken down, I could give actually the input of the BMTX, VMTX, SMTX. I could give the parameters as I want separately, which was not the case in the first approach, because the first approach used basically the enhanced two-phase method, so I didn't have much of a variety to control the parameters, only because the two-phase method is fairly limited. But here, given the 3 and 5 phase method, it was broken down where I could actually put the different parameters for the different flux calculation. I didn't go on to see the annual metrics and results for this case or for this approach, because I thought, okay, if I'm going to work with the 3-phase or the 5-phase method, then I probably need a more advanced model. So the model needs more details to it than the one that I have already done. So this is still in progress. But I wanted to have like a quick overview of the two approaches, their pros and cons, their flexibility and limitations for each one of them. So basically, for Ladybug Tools Honeybee 1.6, I thought it was interesting that I can actually check that Honeybee is reading the different items correctly as I wanted them to be. As opposed, and Ladybug, the legacy Honeybee Plus tools, had also this option, but the difference was that I didn't visually see them. I had to go and then check that the written files were actually written correctly or signed correctly. Regarding the architecture geometry generation process, the first one was a bit more tedious because of the room-based approach, where I had to check that each room is closed and that each room has its own apertures and living devices attached and so on. However, it allowed for a little bit more of flexibility and parametric options in terms of adding shapes, adding border shapes, and so on. Although the other approach, the Honeybee Plus approach, was relatively quick and efficient, I said that it was a bit primitive because the Honeybee components that we're working on in the architecture geometry preparation process, it's basically the Honeybee surface, the Honeybee window, and the Honeybee window only. Whereas here we have mainly face, mainly surface, aperture, door shape, border shape, and other. But, and also to weigh the pros and cons together, this integrates the VSDF in for the three phase and five phase method, so we don't really need the border shades or shapes component, because if we have like a complex fenestration system, then we'd use the VSDFs basically. So in my case, it wouldn't be just doing the VSDFs for the louver system, but also for the wooden shading devices on the windows for the actual building itself. Both have good control over modifiers and the ability to add VSDFs. And in the 1.6 approach, I have basically adequate control over the radiance parameters, but only the ones related to the enhanced two-phase method, because that's the one that Ladybug Tools Honeybee 1.6 works with. Whereas in the Honeybee Plus, I can also play around with the DMTX and VMTX and SMTX. So that was all. learning about the daylight performance of the building itself. If we're going to think about the optimization, we could play around with the change in the number of louvers, change in the materials of louvers, change in the form of louvers. But now, given the fact that we realize that the openings in the tower don't really have that much of an effect on the spaces at the ground or in the first floor, just optimizing the complex fenestration system isn't actually sufficient in itself. Despite that, we did some trials just also to get a feel of the VSDF behaviors. We tried the same sizes, dimensions, and angles, and so on, but with a less number of louver system, with only 20, to see the behavior of the VSDF. And then we had the same 40 louver stats, but we played around with the material and added here 5, so instead of the 0.8 or 0.7 that we had before, we had 0.9. And then we tried to compare just to get a feel for the differences in the complex fenestration system itself. And for us, like the very first idea was basically that the case with the 20 louver stats is basically a bit better. It has a higher visible transmission at the back. And if we're going to optimize the louver system, there was a suggestion from one of my professors to basically automate this whole process using C-sharp script, but we'll see this later on. And this is basically the conclusion with the limitations and further research plan. So I wanted just to put down the current limitation of the modeling and simulation processes that I have for the case, which are basically that the wall thicknesses were not included, the thickness and behavior of the wooden shading devices was not included, they were just added as thin surfaces, no furniture was included, and we used the wood material modifiers. So we need to get back to the construction documents to learn more about the material properties that were actually applied and see if we need to do any changes to the modifier. And we didn't also study fully the layer. And basically the preliminary conclusion regarding the performance of the wind towers is basically that the optimization of the louver system itself would not be sufficient. So there will be a need for additional redesign or optimization decisions, perhaps some material treatments in the like body of the tower itself, adding some additional reflective surfaces that enhance or act for a better redirection of the light that enters from the openings or from the complex fenestration system at the top. And as I said, it's still in progress, and I'm still relatively a beginner, so I didn't have much of an experience with Ladybug Tools, Honeybee, and Radiant. So the questions that are still open for me right now are that I'm basically still in search for the best practices in terms of workflow for a case like the one that I presented. I still also have open questions related to the choice of case-specific and adequate time, the relationship between the type and scale of the project, the simulation recipe type that we have, and the needed level of simulation recipe. These are my references. These are some additional sources. Thank you. I'd be happy to read your questions.